Welcome to Old Trafford, Niger Branch.
Home of sly tackles, red cards, yellow cards, and 93rd minute screamers from outside the box.
Home to sure 3 points, trebles, and all Niger Red Devils around the world.
We are defenders, the vex, and strikers, I date here.
So, adjust your shin guard, tie your boots, and increase your volume small.
Ready?
Now let the match day begin.
Good evening, everyone. I am Dari, and I'll be your host today on the Red to the Bones podcast. As usual, I have a few guests with me where we'll be discussing all things Manchester United. First of all, today we have Shee. Shee, can you just introduce yourself for everybody?
Hello, I'm Shee Fumi. I work as a copywriter, content creator, and fashion stylist. And then it's my first time being here, and I'm so excited and stoked to actually be on this platform. I really hope to engage and then learn. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's a lot of posts for just one person.
Thank you.
Yeah, so next would be Caleb. I'm sure Caleb is not a newcomer on the show, but he'll still introduce himself, Sha.
Yeah, it's nice to be back again. I'm Caleb. A project officer, aspiring UI UX designer, just starting my baby steps in that field. And yeah, I'm glad to be back again. Talking to Manchester United. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't know, has Keshi been on the show before? I don't know, I can't remember. But if he has not, just introduce yourself.
The name is Olalekan. You call me Kenshin already, so let's just move with Kenshin. I'm a copywriter and a digital strategist. Yeah, and I'm also a student, so that's just about it.
So we'll be moving on now. So first thing on our table today would be the match today. So as usual, we concede from a very, very stupid situation, and we come back in the second half. Typical Manchester United. So we'll be going with Caleb first. What do you think about today?
Well, today's match is just what we've been seeing all season. It's like our players like to talk with our feelings. They go down first half. But as we've seen all through the season, and what Ole has tried to bring back, the faith and hope we always have in our our squad, so always of coming back. And yeah, they've done that today once again. And that was like 24 points from a losing position. I'm not sure.
That's
incredible. Manchester United being Manchester United.
Yeah, so on the goal we considered, there have been conflicting opinions on who did what and who did what. So Shee, what is your thought on the goal we considered?
Personally, I wasn't surprised because I always expect Manchester United to concede from silly mistakes like that. Ranging from defensive errors, lack of communication, and then sort of things like that. And then the build up to actually the goal we considered was actually starting from Fred and McTominay, and then you realize that there was a little bit of lack of communication between both of them, in the sense that they were quite lost. And then this kind of like led to the ball going inside our box 18. So obviously we have a defensive error which was waiting just for us, which is Lindelof. And then, you know, in a bid to actually clear the ball, he actually did that aimlessly and fruitlessly. So I wasn't surprised, because when the goal came, I was like, okay, classic Manchester United and all of that. So, but yeah, I would say it was like always defensive errors, like always.
Okay, this match now, Cavani equaled the record for Manchester United. Previously, the record for most goals scored by substitutes in the season. 5 goals scored by Chicharito, as Avi Hernandez, and the boss himself, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But today he equaled that record, 5 goals by substitutes in the league, and it's been an inspiration. It's been a revelation. So, Keshin, what is your thought on Cavani as a player for us this season?
Let's talk about him generally. First of all, his mentality has really improved the squad. Personally, I feel his mentality has improved the squad, because, well, with what we're about to deal with in the past let's say, 3 seasons with center forwards, what he's bringing to the table is very different. He's looking very clinical. He makes movements that gives our midfielders options. He makes movements that give our midfielders options. He's really flat-footed like the other guys. And today, I just knew as he was coming in, he was coming to score. Like, it was just obvious that he was going to score. Yeah.
We had a lot of chances in the first half where if we had someone in the six-yard box, we would have definitely
would have
gotten it. Two times Rashford dribbled to the byline, played it across.
Nobody to tap it in.
Sure, cutback, no one. The most obvious of them all was the Greenwood shot. Where
that got parried back, Abi.
Yes. And yeah, there was nobody there to put it into the net. And it was obvious that more if Cavani was in this match, that's a surefire goal. I agree with you. He has brought something that we have not had with our centre forwards.
Exactly.
I think we had it a bit with Lukaku.
Ibrahimovic. I would say Ibrahimovic before Lukaku.
We had it a bit with Lukaku too, but we all know how Lukaku's stuff went. So that's that on that. So next we'll be discussing the semi-final. Semi-final course finally broken. We at Dupe Funye. Previously we've been like, okay, Ole has been sacrificing our semi-finals for the kind of performances we've been giving this season. We have been sacrificing our semi-finals for that, but this is it. We finally broke on the course. We almost did not break it though. So Caleb, what is your thoughts on the second leg in general? The second leg in particular, rather. The second leg in particular. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, the second leg, I'll think the players actually tried. First of all, the way the match went, I would not actually blame the players for the goal scored or whatever went on during the match, because I think Partick actually played like a contribution for that match, and then Ole trying to rotate the squad, Ole trying to rotate the squad. Then it with that squad that he put out in the second half, I think, well, considering those two goals, was just a show of lack of quality in depth with from our first squad. But I think the mentality to get into the final, it was lacking last season, and he has always talked about it throughout this season that we've been improving on our mentality. So I think that actually showed throughout both legs, the first and second leg, the mentality was there, and I think that's why he played our first 11 in the first half, so we could actually see the match through at least half time and see what should be and we could get. So yeah, improving the mentality has actually worked for us. I think, it has paid off for us.
Okay. Thank you very much. That your response is leading us to the next thing that I want to talk about. So going in, going out, and coming in. So, like you said, that match exposed the fact that we have some lacking position in terms of depth. Yeah. So, Keshin, in respect to that, what would you think would be the priority positions to strengthen in the coming transfer window? I think yesterday we got the news that the transfer window will be opened on the 9th of June and closes in August. So we have June, July, August, 3 months to get our business done. So what would you think are the positions to strengthen in terms of probably depth, not starting positions in general?
Yeah, depth, starting positions. I think we need three different players. We need a natural right winger, we need a defensive midfielder, and we need another right back. I think what Sugzi has been trying to
right
do
back.
Yes. I think what Sugzi has been trying to do is build two different teams, the first team and a complete second team. Our second team is not it. They are lacking in experience, they are lacking in quality. So we need a right winger. I would say Sancho. I think we all want to get Sancho. Then we need an actual DM. It's obvious now that the McFred partnership can't do it for us the way we want it. And if we want the best out of Pogba, we want him in the center of the field with someone that can actually cover him. So our best players can play well in other positions. For example, having to move Rashford out of position to accommodate Pogba is kind of stressful on Rashford himself. So we need an actual right winger. Imagine we had someone like Sancho, Cavani, and Martial interchanging for centre-forward position. Greenwood as backup for Sancho and or as backup for Rashford, depending on which position he's playing. But that would be depth in attack. Then in midfield, we need an actual DM. I don't think we are renewing Matic's contract. I don't think we are renewing Matic's contract. So we need a DM. Then McFred can be the backup. Then we need another right back now. Williams isn't cutting it. And I can't guarantee that Solskjaer will trust him with that next season. We need someone that is experienced. Wan-Bissaka can't be playing week in, week out, every single competition. He can't be playing week in, week out, every single competition we are playing. So we need a backup, actually.
Shay, you had some sort of conflicting opinion because immediately you mentioned right back, you're like, another right back? So I'd like to know your own thoughts on that, man.
Nothing really, just that when you mentioned the right back, I was like surprised that, okay, I thought we had Wan-Bissaka doing very well. And then he made mention of Mazip Van Williams, I think Williams, yeah. And then yeah. I feel like for Cops, like Claudia F. Cops and stuff like that, we really have Brandon doing quite well. I don't know. But then I feel like personally, I feel like the key and then the peak position we need to strengthen is the defensive midfield position. We are totally awful at that position right now. I am against the pro Fred agenda. I really feel like it's not really cutting it for me. Same, Maxwell has been quite average this season, although finding that a couple of good runs. But then I can't but agree to the fact that it's been quite average this season. And then so when you look at these things, you look at how the coach has been trying to use Pogba as a defensive midfielder in some games, which we obviously know that, oh, fine, we need this guy to like go in deeper and all of that. So yeah, we need a defensive midfielder. I would have said we need a right winger, but then I feel like, except if we're getting it for competition for Greenwood, because I feel like Mason is really doing well, but then sometimes I feel like he's not, because for his age, is really doing well at that position, so to say. So I feel like first and foremost, we need the defensive midfielder. I would have said I think we need a centre-back also, because I am not really banking on Lindelof for next season. And then when we consider Bailey's injuries, brouhaha, you would tend to like say, okay, fine, I think we need to get in a centre-back. So yeah, a defensive midfielder, a centre-back, and then we need a center forward. If Cavani should leave this season, we are fucked, basically, because we really don't have any prolific striker again, so to say, in my opinion, because Rashford is way too inconsistent for someone who, for a club like Manchester United, like, he brings in his A game today and then he's probably bringing his A game next in, like, probably after 5 games or something like that. So he's quite inconsistent. And then I feel like Cavani has been trying to fill in that void, actually making us feel like, oh, okay, this is what we want in that position. And then rumors have it that he's probably going to leave this is after this season and all of that. So yeah, I think the coach should bring in a center forward. And then I think these three positions, and then we need a winger. I think a right wing, maybe to give Mason more competition, because trust me, sometimes we are so bad at providing crosses and all of that. You look at a cutting forward, and then he's so bad, awful at making crosses and all of that. So even Telles, who is actually okay, quite good a bit, he's not really much of a regular starter. So when you look at these things, Mason would rather cut in and then shoot a shot instead of trying to like cross and all of that. So yeah, I feel like we need a defensive midfielder. Most importantly, we need a centre forward if Cavani should leave. And then we need a centre back. And then, okay, lastly, we could make do with the right winger also.
Okay.
I feel, okay, actually, if Cavani, if Cavani is going to stay, if he eventually stays, I feel we should also still get a centre forward. Mm. And to make up for that, we can sell Martial.
We should.
Martial's
Can I say something? Can I
no, something? You're free to talk now.
Okay. This is how we see.
When we are saying
priority, we are talking about positions where it's like you're absolutely hopeless. We need a DM. Yes, that's a priority. But we don't need a center back. We don't need a center back right now. If we had a proper DM, our center backs wouldn't be exposed as often as they are. Our problem has been DM.
I'm sorry to say, but then have you seen some of our defensive errors that we've had recently? Yeah. And then, in as much as I like my boy,
How many of them can you count? We concede from defensive errors, but then many of them are errors stemming from the fact that we do not have proper protection in midfield.
Exactly.
For example, like you said, there is no protection whatsoever. A proper DM that is commanding would have shielded that ball.
Exactly.
Or even
clear it. A proper DM would have DM
before it gets Lindelof.
These guys aren't DMs.
You see teams like Man City, for example. Now you see Fernandinho getting into tackles, you see, and he hardly gets those cards. That's the DM that is commanding, that imposes himself.
See Kante, see Fabinho, you see these players
that impose that they impose themselves on the game, but we do not have a figure like that in the
middle. I'm pro
McTominay and Fred, because he has a stat for you, we've never lost a league game with them. Yeah, they can win the ball. They can pass on their day when they have brain and sense, they can pass. But then they are not imposing enough. They are not the kind of defensive figure we need in front of our defense. If we have someone like that in front of our defense, then we won't be seeing some kind of errors that we see from our center backs, because you cannot expect You cannot expect your center back to face attacking moves like 4 times in the space of few minutes, and you don't expect them to make at least one mistake. It's not logically possible when they are repeatedly, like, in sequence. In sequence, you are overloading them. There would surely be a mistake. When your DM cannot get the ball out, there will be a mistake. When your DM cannot shoot the center backs properly, there would be a mistake. It's not rocket science, to be honest. But then I understand you, because Bailey is not trustworthy in terms of fitness. Even Tuanzebe is not coming up. But then I wouldn't say center back is the priority.
No, it isn't. It isn't actually.
Keshi said, right wing. I feel we need a right winger. Like, guy, we are too dependent on our left side. Wan-Bissaka is the only person on the right that tries to do something. He's practically alone on the right. Yes, Greenwood has been doing well, but if you watch games, if you watch his positioning in games, he's practically a second striker. He's more of a second striker than a winger out there. He doesn't. He hardly stays wide.
That's true.
So we need someone that when we are playing against teams that want to sit back against us, because we know that against big teams, we used to flex muscle. But then when we face the likes of Burnley, the likes of West Ham, where these guys are going to sit back, or the way Leeds played the other day, we do not have anybody that can stretch the defense. We do not have anybody that can create something from the right hand side. None. Wan-Bissaka is trying. He's trying his best, but he's a right back. There's so much that he can do. We need someone to compliment him on that right-hand side. So, see, if we did not even sign anybody in this summer, we should sign a right winger and probably move Greenwood to the middle. Cavani would most likely renew. Simona, forget that and say Cavani's not going to stay.
Mark my words. I feel Cavani's playing hardball now. If Cavani doesn't extend
your account number to my DM, I'll put something inside.
They'll give me an improved contract. I think that's what he wants. An improved contract and he'll stay. A bigger role. I think he complained about not playing earlier.
And for selling myself, Emi Omoyeo, Enyelemo.
Kelebud what?
Enyelemo. And for selling myself, I'm not on that trade. Because he's having a bad season, it doesn't mean you should sell him. But then,
exactly,
it's your opinion. Everybody's entitled to his opinion. Let's move on.
And for the fact that we have Cavani now, Martial can always be the backup. Can always be the backup, and he can provide an extra player for us on the flanks, as we always need an extra Imagine Van de Beek having to play on the flanks the other day against AC Milan. It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, that's true. I just remember that guy played on the flank.
It didn't make any sense at first. And I was like, what is this guy doing? Does he know what he's supposed to be doing?
That's true. So, next on the agenda is the Glazers out protest. Now, I think that was last week, Sunday. We were meant to play Liverpool, but the match was suspended or postponed due to the fact that fans protested on the pitch and it was not suitable for the match to go on. So I would like to know, I don't know who wants to go first on that. I would like to know what everybody's thoughts is on that, because personally for me, I support protest. Yes, I was a student union person in school too, so I support.
Really?
When yes, I was. But when the protests start becoming a riot, when it starts becoming violent, then I withdraw my support. I'm not a supporter of violence. So when you start beating people up, when you start invading the pitch, when you start breaking camera, I'm not a supporter of that. And ultimately, it led to them cancelling the game, and now we have to play, what is it, 3 games in 5 days, if I'm correct. So, personally, I'm not in support of that. So, I'd like to know what everybody's thoughts is on that. So, who wants to go first?
Caleb, go first.
well, for me, I think everybody knows my opinion on that. It was, it's
nice idea, but in a very wrong manner and wrong time. Because, first of all, you don't need to get on the pitch, you don't need to get into the stadium
For you to make a statement or for you to get attention of the owners, and then you go on to cause bodily harm and destroy properties here and there, and you're saying it's because over the few years. It doesn't make any sense. Like with that, then their aim, their goal has become
because they just went off track with that.
So to me, the protest was a nice idea, but the time and the manner in which they went about it was way off. It was off.
So and people would say that it's going to bring about changes in the long run.
Or in the long term. I don't know about that. Because I don't think since the protest, I don't think the owners have actually anything concrete. Even the statement that Joe Glazer or the owners put out in response to their demands, it didn't say anything concrete that they will make amends or they will meet their demands. They just said a whole lot of ambiguous BS in that statement. So, I feel it was just a wrong strategy, wrong timing, wrong manner. And it was just, and now they've put our players at risk. Maguire has suffered because of it. Rashford has taken, even though he played 19 minutes, and we still have like 3 matches to go. So it just didn't make sense to me.
Who's next?
All right, let me go next.
Sorry, I have a question.
What was the question?
Yeah, how was the protest supposed to go? Like, what you said, that was like not the appropriate manner for which the protest should have gone. So my question is, how should the protest have gone? And let's bear in mind that the protest didn't start last weekend or last 2 weekends. The Glazer out protest has been ongoing for quite a bit. They've been flying banners over Old Trafford. There have been hashtags here and there. People have paraded Edward Ward's compound at some point. So if this course of action is not the best, how should the protests have gone?
Okay, Q first. So, this boy Samir, he's pretty right. Aha.
All right, now it's getting interesting. So, Caleb, please answer your question.
Okay. All right. The thing is, the protests have been going on for a long time on social media and in the stadiums. But the fact is, they don't need to stop a match. They don't need to get into the stadium and stop a match before their voices can be heard. That's not the only way to go about it. They don't need to get into the stadium, which makes their aim and goal very futile. Like, it just throws it off track. If they have a problem with the owners, they should take it up with the owners, not put whole team, the manager, the squad, and through their plans, just destroy everything like that. Now, we have 4 games to go. I mean, 3 games to go. Our captain is injured if we play the final. So how is...
I don't disagree with you if you say... I haven't disagreed with you. I just want a more concise plan on what you think would be
a better route to take with the protest. Because if one is not working, most likely you try a different way. And for the past couple of years, to the best of my knowledge, there have been protests. They have not done this kind of thing before, to the best of my knowledge, in my opinion, right? So this is the first time that they are doing this kind of thing where they are breaking into the stadium, they are disrupting a game just because they want their voices to be heard. But they've been trying to get their voices heard for quite a bit now, and nothing has been done. So if breaking in is not the right way to go, should they continue doing what they've been doing since that has not yielded any results?
Okay, based on that, yeah. If, like Caleb said, there has even not been no response. There has been no response to the protest. The only response we got was for a letter that was sent after. So there are legal ways to do these things. Yes, it has not been working in the past. But then, before the protest, we had seen the owners say their usual words that they would correct their ways, and which they did by also responding to the letter. They have been sending different letters. I can't say this is the way to go. This is the way to go, because there are plethora of ways that is within the laws of the land. So I can't say this is the way to go, but in my personal opinion, that is not the way to go, because then the cameras you destroyed were not my United camera. Before you say, okay, we destroyed my United camera, Glazers will use out of the money to repair the camera. They were not my United cameras, they were Sky Sports cameras. Now those policemen that they beat up, if they identify those guys, you're going to jail or you're going to be charged for causing bodily harm to an official and all those kind of stuff. So these things are against the law. But then it is what it is. It has happened. Does anybody else have anything to say on that issue?
Nothing to say.
Okay. Nothing to say. Anything?
Nothing, you guys have said it all.
But the protests were very necessary. And the only way they could have gotten the attention they desired was by the way they acted, because they were aggravated. It was not the first time they would protest. But they needed a different response. And we actually got the response. Now, if anything happens to... It is not the same response you have been getting. Things don't always change in an instant.
The next
point is player focus, like we have been doing in the past. The player in focus today is none other than the Welsh Sonny. Ronaldo reincarnated.
Ooh.
Defenders are family. How do you expect them to catch a Bajaj? Daniel James. So the players in focus today is Daniel James. I want an only Usain Bolt. In fact, Usain Bolt no run reach that guy now.
Yeah, nobody run reach him more.
Nobody run reach Daniel James. The guy is fat. He's lightning fat.
So why doesn't he go and do Olympics?
But then there's
Olympics.
More than being fast.
Why doesn't he go and do Olympics and be doing 400-meter junior boys? What's he doing in Manchester United now?
Okay, so first of all, Priye, what do you have to say about Daniel James?
Daniel James. What do I have to say about Daniel James? James was brought in to cover our right wing, Bruhammer, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's one of the worst right wingers I've ever come across. I don't know how many games he has started this season, but I think he has contributed maybe... He has 3 goals and 0 assists, but he's supposed to be our right winger. So he contributes... For some reason, he's even worse than Martial. So I don't get... Why are we still keeping him? Why is he still here? Like, why is he still in our squad? What does he contribute?
Pace.
Jonah, when you look at the top teams, who, like, how one of the ways I rate players, and maybe it's not the most accurate way, but it's just me. If a player like Aguero leaves Man City, what caliber of people will call for him? If Ozil leaves Arsenal, what are the caliber of people that will call for him? If Daniel James should leave Manchester United, anything short of Nottingham Forest, bro, he might not even go to the Forest, the club. It's the Forest, like in the woods. That's where he's going to go and be. How does he help our squad? Like, he's worse than... He shouldn't be considered... Someone said Martial can be considered a squad player. I agree to an extent. But this guy can't even be a squad player, fam.
But James brings his own to the table. I mean, he might not be the greatest player, but the coach has found a way to use him, and he has been productive the few times that he has been productive.
What's his productivity?
I said,
last his productivity.
This season, he has three goals
throughout the entire season.
Goals are not the only contributions you bring to it.
Okay, what else?
There are games you have played and you have needed.
Kilometers per second plan. Is it the length of time he spent running? Is it the speed? What has his gameplay helped us achieve? Like, I want to know. Apart from his goals, what else has
his work rate on that flank, on that right wing flank. He helps AWB more defensively than any other right winger that we have.
His work rate is not even enough to earn him to start above Greenwood or Martial on the right wing. So
But somehow the coach has found a way to use him, and the few times he has used him, his performances haven't been that bad. He doesn't have goals and assists to his game, but he also brings something to the table.
We know that we didn't buy Daniel James to be getting goals and assists
to be getting double digits
of 10 goals and per season. We know we didn't buy Daniel
James. Daniel James is a patch.
I also have a question. So if winger,
yes,
we did not buy him for goals, we did not buy him for assists, what exactly did we buy him for?
It was actually a bridge gap till the time we were able to get Sancho, and that was meant to be last season. That was summer, and unfortunately we couldn't get Sancho last summer, hence why we bought Hamad, and we employed Greenwood, to the right wing.
The thing is, James, when we bought him, what did you think we were getting? Did you think we were getting the next Ryan Giggs? Had people not watched him before? Are they expecting him to just automatically become what exactly?
They watched YouTube videos.
What?
We actually bought someone for 15 million, and they were expecting 90 million performance.
Exactly, and who bought him? It's not like it was a priority signing. It was the management that brought him to patch that right wing position. So cut him some slack. He's trying.
If you actually
Yes, he's more of a left winger than a right winger.
He cannot give us what Pogba is giving us on the left wing.
He can't, but he can give us what they are not giving us. The thing is, James is not as dynamic as the other players. His style of football is very simple. Give me space to run. He doesn't have the skill set to wriggle out of tight positions. So, and our coach has found a way to use him. I keep saying that. He has found a way to use him. James plays ball for us. He's not that great, but he plays. Whatever role he's designated to perform, he does it, and he does it well. If it is to stretch your position. For 15 million, what are you expecting?
Okay, for 15 million, so, is Daniel James the caliber of player which I have at Man United?
No. Obviously.
Okay. So we agree.
In a normal transfer window, Man United will not want James.
Come on, James. Normally he's a bomb, but he's a Man United player. You can't call him a bomb for that fact.
If he's a bomb, Man United player or not.
We had no options. We just had to go and settle. We had to settle for Daniel James.
No, actually, we had options. This season we bought Daniel James, we had options. We could have splashed the cash. I think they were asking for 180 million or something. We could have splashed the cash. And there was another guy.
What
is this other guy? Who is this other guy?
Who's the other guy?
I forgot.
Don't say Perisic. I beg you, with Almighty Jesus Christ.
I will not say Perisic, but is Perisic not a better player than Daniel James?
And Perisic is just as terrible as Daniel James right now. Perisic is just as terrible as Daniel James.
Is
Perisic a human being?
How did you guys even rate Perisic?
I'm surprised.
Has Perisic ever scored 10 league goals in his career in a season? I don't think so.
Or we could have gotten William instead.
He would have given us 3 assists in his first game. And
please, we are not doing stand-up comedy here, please.
William. the only player we want is Sancho, and if we wanted the right winger, we should have gotten Mahrez when we went to go and buy Sanchez, because we actually needed a right winger, not a left winger.
Was Mahrez available that season?
It was. Then Man City now bought him. Now it was available. Then Man City went for
him. It was twerking for any big club to come.
Exactly.
Yes, I remember.
Like, Mahrez was there for the taking, but foolish Mourinho. Only God knows what he was looking for in Sanchez. Like, we have right wingers on ground. We are using Pogba and, I mean, we are using Rashford and Martial on the same position. Why do you feel the need to bring in another left winger when we needed a right winger? Like why?
Well, it seems we are digressing now to another.
Well, you started with Dan James, yes? And we're talking about options that we have. Yes, you're talking about other options that we are available.
There's this guy, I can't remember his name, and that's what's paining me. Like, I'm trying to even search, but I can't remember his name. But I know that there were other options. He was in Italy. Was
Jeremy Boga? Jeremy Boga.
No. His name has L in it, and that's all I can remember. I'm so sorry, guys. I can't remember his name.
L.
Is it Lorenzo Insigne?
He's a left winger. Lozano from PSG.
Okay, Lozano, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, he was available that season as well before we went to Ghana.
Lozano would have been a big money signing.
Don't mind, you have money now.
Lozano is that good.
Lozano would have flopped.
No, as then, I remember the figures they were quoting for him then.
Lozano would have flopped.
Is Lozano good? please don't fucking kill me, I beg. Instead, let's sign Perisic.
I mean, Lozano, he's this season alone, he has 14 goals in 32 appearances.
Yeah, he doesn't play as a winger now. You don't use him as a winger like that now.
I've known him to be a right winger. So
really?
I don't know what he plays now, because I haven't followed Italian football or whatever. But as at the time when we were going for this flop, I was hoping that instead of getting James from Division 2, would have gotten someone with more quality.
But then bulk of our budget then was center back.
Yeah.
You people underestimate our finances, so.
No, not that they underestimate our finances. That was actually what was given. We have spent
bulk of our budget then was for a center back. That's why we could not even get Bruno. That's from
you see one of the problems. That's a problem. But one of the reasons why we need more protests is so that our board can actually invest. Imagine being the biggest club in top five biggest clubs in the world. Money is not our problem. I believe Man U can buy 11 new players. Money is not our problem. So why are we shortening ourselves trying to prioritize one over the other? Look at how Man City have thrived in the past couple of years. This guy bought one keeper. He didn't like him. The next guy, he changed him like boxers. He bought new defenders. Kept what in a fresh back four. If you're doing anyhow, it will change you. Money is not a problem. Man U have money. That we have to either prioritize a defender before getting Bruno, or have to buy that James so that we can get Sancho in the future. That doesn't make sense. And as far as I'm concerned, they need to go inside that stadium and protest more so that they can bring out this money.
Priye, do you know that? I can't remember. I think it's either Lukaku or this guy. I think, yeah, it's Lukaku. We've not finished paying, even with the fact that we had sold him, we had not finished paying his money to Everton.
As a general, we are not finished paying for Lukaku.
Yeah, in terms of installments and add-ons and all those stuff, we had not finished paying. I think I read an article to that effect. Right. There were players that we had sold, but then we were still owing some form of financial commitments to them or their former club. So the former managers, yeah, those guys, they really messed us up in terms of players, the money we pay for players, but in terms of what we pay them after we have signed them.
We pay the players, or we pay the clubs.
The wages, both. The bonus, the add-ons, all those stuff, they were ridiculous.
I don't think it's the managers. I think it's the players and their lawyers that negotiate contracts, right? To the best of my knowledge, Ole says, I want so-and-so person. The board is supposed to get in that player. And then the board and that player discuss contracts and, you know, terms and conditions, right? So I don't think it's the our managers that are at fault for what the players earn.
But the managers contribute actually when
that's why we have a manager, not the head coach.
The managers contribute because when they have a target and they're asking the club to get them targets, priority targets have to be gotten at all costs. So they can, when they see that the club is desperate to have them, the lawyers and the agents can always negotiate for a better contract. I think that's what happened with Sanchez, because I think Mourinho was desperate to get it. I don't know why. Then he got an insane contract, something that was not supposed to be heard of.
Sanchez was actually off that season before the January transfer. So what happened after the January transfer is what I don't know.
Only God knows, man.
What Keshi even said is true, because it was the same with Maguire, because we all knew that we had to get a centre back of his stature in, someone that is a bit experienced that can lead from the back. And Leicester knew that. They decided to charge us. I'm sure Leicester was surprised to pay that money for him.
I think they knew we needed a defender badly. They knew we needed a defender badly. So they just had to play hardball one way or another. We're going to fuck out the cash.
I'm also not sure if we finished paying for Martial's.
No, we are still paying, but most of the add-ons that we are supposed to pay, I think Martial is not living up to the expectations.
Yeah, I think it's based on performance.
So I think Woodward rips them off for that one.
they should better sell Martial and get at least 20 million now before he's
with Martial is worth at least 50 million. I beg, if we should rest with your agenda.
We bought him for around 52 million. How is he still worth 50 million with all these performances he has been doing?
Well, we bought Lukaku 70 million, sold him 70 million. Go.
After one season.
And we bought Martial less than 50 million. He's with the add-ons that is supposed to rise to 57 million. The money paid for Martial is just over 40.
And then you want to selling for 50 million. Has he appreciated in value?
Has he depreciated in value? Are you kidding me?
Yes, emphatically, yes.
How has he depreciated in value?
How has he not depreciated in value?
Okay, I think we are digressing a little bit. Maybe we'll take care of this when we get back to the group. Let's focus on our agendas for today.
Okay.
Agenda is Daniel James. I think Daniel James is not, mind you, quality kind of player. And I have to be fair to say that our board did not do well enough. We could have gotten somebody better. So I'm not going to dump it all on. Sometimes agenda can be agenda then, but it's also good to be objective. Daniel James is not our quality kind of player, but the board went to get this person. Just, I don't know, someone said to patch up things. And yes, we have to cut him some slack. This is the best he can do. And his best is not good enough for Man United.
We are
obviously going to get a new right winger. It's priority. We are going to get a new right winger. And some players will also leave. So who knows? Daniel James will end up playing for Leeds like Bielsa wants.
Wants him.
I thought Bielsa wanted him this transfer window.
If you go. That's good as meat there.
Yeah, Bielsa almost signed him before he came to Man United now.
Yeah. So
guys, I'm sorry, Dari, we're supposed to talk about transfers this week, yeah?
Yeah, we already talked about that before you came.
Okay. Sorry, can you fill me in?
Basically, we just talked about a priority position that we might need to fill in terms of starting position and depth. We had a few arguments whether we need a center back or not. And Kenny was like, we needed a right back. Shei was like, no, we don't. And she also had the opinion that a right wing, they said a striker is more
important than a right winger.
Right winger.
What striker do you think we would get if we decide to get? I think I know only one Cavani to stay. So who do you think we can get? I don't think Harry Kane will stay in Spurs.
Harry Kane would be the perfect signing.
But I think Harry Kane will most likely go to Chelsea.
If we can slot out his butter and grab his button, it would have been.
Harry Kane might go to either Chelsea or Man City.
Ah, if Harry Kane goes to Man City, church has closed.
Ah,
service closed.
It's over.
Imagine all those chances that Sterling and this guy are missing. Oh, man.
And all those penalties that go straight away. Kane when they use IC penalty.
I think we should actually get Cavani.
Yeah, it would be nice for us to get a striker. I think we can sell
Okay. We can sell Anthony Martial to Spurs in a deal to get Harry Kane. That would be nice.
How much you be adding plus Anthony Martial that has depreciated?
70 million.
Yeah. Daniel Levy said Kane is worth at least £125 million. If you're adding 70 million, you mean Martial is worth £55 million.
Yeah,
at least. Great.
£55 million. Agended.
Martial for £55 million.
Yeah, he's not too expensive.
But you know, transfer window don't spoil. £55 million is quite small money.
But you said £55 million. If Martial can make it to La Liga, he will play ball now. If he can find himself in La Liga, he will enjoy football.
It's like that's standard. That is correct price tag. He is not expensive. He's not too low. So
and he's just 25.
Yeah, and he's just 25. So that's fair.
Very fair.
Like you said, he has a lot of.
Thank you guys for coming. Let's do this again some other time. We have come to the end of this episode, Sha. Thank you guys. I've enjoyed the rest of.
Hope say una enjoy the match, Sha.
We don't dribble low.
We don't shoot our shots.
We don't tear it.
And we don't put 3 points for pockets. Till next Sunday on Red to the Bones.
Tell your friends, may they come see waiting you save don't see.